Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What is going on, beautiful people? Welcome back to another episode of The Narcissist Code. I'm your favorite self-aware narcissist, Mr. Lee Hammack, better known as Mental Illness, across all social media platforms. This is your first time seeing my face or hearing my voice. I'm a diagnosed narcissist, and I use my platform on social media to raise awareness for NPD, get more people into therapy like myself, and also validate the victims and survivors of said disorder. Today's episode is going to be about how sometimes a narcissist won't let you go, even after they move on to somebody else, even after you've moved on to somebody else. I've said this before in a lot of videos, but a lot of times narcissists see their significant others or other people close to them in their lives as property. They think that they own you, like you belong to them. You know what I mean? So if you belong to them, then, you know, even if you decide to move on, even if they discard you, like let's say a narcissist discards you for somebody else. And like, let's say you're married to, this is a better example right here. Let's say that you are married to a narcissist, right? They leave you for somebody else. They are with somebody else completely. They live with somebody else. They started a whole new life with somebody else, but they refuse to divorce you. They don't want to let you go, even though they're with somebody else. I see this all the time. I hear this all the time. And people are like, why won't they divorce me? Why won't they divorce me? They're with somebody else right now, but they won't sign the divorce papers. One reason is because, as I said earlier, because they think they own you. You belong to them. You know, to death do you part. And you're not dead, are you? You're just not together. And another reason is because it gives them the ability to be non-committal, not completely non-committal to the next person. And they can use that as a tool to turn the next person against you as well, to turn the new supply against you, to triangulate the new supply against you. So you have a new enemy regardless. You don't know them. You've never met them, but you have an enemy. Hey, they can go tell the new supply, say, hey, why, like, you want to get, like, can we get married or whatever? You want to get, like, can we get married? Like, no, we can't get married because, you know, my ex, they won't sign a damn divorce paper, so I'm still legally married. I can't get married to two people because they'll be bigging me and I go to jail. And like, I love you, but if we can somehow get them to sign a divorce paper, we can get married tomorrow. You know, I love you. I'll marry you tomorrow. But the whole time, the actual truth of the matter is that they actually don't want to sign the divorce papers. But they convince you, or the new supply, that you are the old supply, or ex, is the problem. So you turn on them. So the new supply turns on the old supply. Now you have the old supply has an enemy out of the new supply, based on what the narcissist has said and what they won't do. The narcissist is refusing to sign the divorce papers. The narcissist is refusing to do all this stuff, refusing to move their stuff out of the house, refusing to give things back to the other person, refusing to completely separate and cut ties. The narcissist is doing that to be non-committal to the next person and also get the next person on their side. They might not ever divorce you. I've heard people being legally separated for years, and that toxic person won't sign the divorce papers, even though they have a whole new family with a new person. They're still legally married to somebody else, but they are in a relationship, bought a house, living with somebody else, got kids with somebody else, but will refuse to sign the divorce papers. And the new supply thinks that the old supply is the issue. But do y'all not ask questions? Like, sometimes I just feel like a lot of times, and the way that happens right there is a lot of times the narcissist will create an enemy use triangulation, you know, the triangle shape, to create an enemy out of the new part, to make the old supply and the new supply enemies, right? So you don't communicate on good terms. You're not on good terms, and you won't believe anything the other person said anyway, because you feel like that they're holding you back. The new supply feels like the old supply, the old relationship, the ex or whatever, is holding them back from moving on because they're so jealous of them, because they're so controlling, because they can't get over the narcissist and things like that. But that's not, they don't be the truth. And because y'all don't talk, y'all don't communicate, you think it's the truth. You think you because they don't talk and they don't communicate, the narcissist is sitting there just like at the top of the triangle, chilling, hanging out, watching people fight over them and things like that, because of rumors that they have spread and because of things that they are actually behind. You know, the perpetrator of. It's just, it's crazy to see this happen so much, though, y'all. I see it happening all the time, and it blows my mind that it happens so much with people. You know, it blows my mind that it happens so much in these toxic relationships with narcissistic people, because people don't ask questions. Like, you, because you see the other person, because the new supply sees the old supply as an enemy, they don't ask the right, they don't ask to sit down and have a conversation with them to get their point of view, to get their perspective, or, you know, especially if there's kids involved. Like, don't y'all think it's an issue when the new, like, when that toxic person moves on and y'all have, there's kids involved, and you don't meet the new stepmom or stepdad of your kids, like, they keep y'all apart for some reason? The new supply, if you have ever been in the new supply, why didn't you ask those questions? Why didn't, I want to see this in the comment section. I want to interview somebody. I want to do that on live. I want to ask somebody who has played the role of new supply, why didn't you reach out to the old supply if there's kids involved? Why didn't you reach out to the old supply to meet them if you had to, you know, if you want to be a co-parent, if you want to be a stepmom or stepdad? Why didn't you reach out to the old person and things like that? What was holding you back? What was, you know, keeping you there in this situation? I really seriously want to know, because it'll help me in my knowledge base, and it'll help other people as well, you know, and things like that. Okay, close the door. My son walked in here, y'all. Close the door. Thank you. But I'm super curious. Why would the old supply and the new supply, you know, why are they competing? I mean, I see that. I get it. I understand it. But I want to know from I want to know a firsthand perspective on why you, as the new supply, if the narcissist in your life, toxic person in your life, was still married and not legally divorced, why didn't you act, and they kept blaming the ex, why didn't you ask the question? Why didn't you talk to the ex on calm terms? Just curious. I really want to know. This is not the, I'm not, you know, I don't do the blame game on this channel. I really truly want to know, like, why didn't you question that? Why would you just willy-nilly believe the narcissistic person? I know the love bombing phase, I know the trauma bond or whatever, you know, and a lot of times, and also I know that reactive abuse happens too, because post-separation abuse is a real thing. By post-separation abuse, I mean, even after the relationship, the narcissist is still, you know, emotionally and sometimes physically abusing their ex. So if they're emotionally abusing their ex still, the ex, the old supply, you know. So of course my camera battery died. That's why I had to cut it right there. But during post-separation reactive abuse is a thing, y'all. It's when a narcissist still has ties, still has stuff at the old person, at the old supply's house, still is legally married to them, still has kids by them, so they still have to be in contact, and they trigger the other person to react out of character. To, you know, reactive abuse happens. And then when they, like I said, that's why when the old supply reacts negatively, when they react out of character, the new supply sometimes sees that as a reaction. They don't see what triggered it. They just see the reaction, the reactive abuse. They just see the old supply acting out of character, yelling, screaming, sending hateful messages and things like that. They don't see what happened, what caused it. They don't see that toxic person caused it. They just see the new supply just sees the old supply reacting out of character. So post-separation reactive abuse is a real thing. So I understand that as well. So I say literally, I really want to interview somebody, do a one-on-one, or, you know, do a YouTube thing or whatever with somebody that's been the new supply, you know, that's been the new supply. And why didn't you talk to the ex? Like, what was said to you? You know, what was said to you to keep you from talking to the ex? Or did you just think, this is not a slight on you, did you just think that the ex was jealous of you? You know what I mean? Do you think that they didn't want to talk to you because you replaced them? You're so much better than them. I'm just curious. I know how narcissists work, y'all. Yeah. So I also, when I posted this TikTok very similar to this, and a YouTube very similar to this yesterday, a YouTube short, people were asking, I said, a narcissist will try to remain in your life by leaving stuff there at your old, the house that you shared, or the apartment that you shared, a condo, whatever. They'll leave stuff there and rarely ever come and get it. They have a reason to pop up on you. And sometimes the opposite is true too, where they'll keep your stuff. So you have to keep contacting them. They'll keep sentimental things about you. I've heard of narcissistic toxic people taking the ashes of their ex's mom or father or something like that and won't get them back. They just hold on to them as leverage to keep the other person, have to talk to them and have to call them and stuff like that, which is evil as hell. But I've heard of it, that happening as well. So you have to protect your peace, y'all, against people like that. You know what I mean? If they leave you for somebody else and they're in a complete relationship with somebody else and y'all are not married, they just leave stuff at your house, and they are not on the lease, give them a couple of days to come get it. Send a warning to them. Send it, like you said. And then I've heard of people doing a month of storage, put it in a storage for them for a month or something like that, or a couple of weeks, and then just letting it go. Because that you, if you want to be over this person, like, is the what sense does it make for them if they're not on the lease, that they're not paying any bills in your spot? What sense does it make for them to leave all their stuff over there and just come back and get it whenever they want to? That just kind of shows that you might, in the narcissist's mind, if you don't throw the stuff out, in their mind, that means you still want them. That means you're giving them a reason to come back to you, giving them a reason to pop up at your house anytime that they want to. You know what I mean? Especially if they still have a key, you haven't changed the locks and things like that. But there, like I said, there's a lot of different moving pieces. Sometimes they're still on the lease and use that as controlling. They use that to control you. Even if they moved out in a relationship with somebody else, they're still on the lease with you. They'll still pop up at your house. You know, they'll still pop up at your house to make sure you're not moving on. Make sure you don't have anybody else in their house, in their spot. And that's to keep you as a backup supply. You don't want to be the backup supply. And let's say it. You don't want to be the backup supply. You don't want to go from the main person in somebody's life to the side person or the mistress or the male mistress, whatever you call them. Gigolo, not gigolo, something. Whatever you call the male mistress. I still didn't look that up. I know I said something very similar to that before. I still didn't look up what a male mistress was. Somebody said it was a Sancho. Is it a Sancho? Sancho? Somebody said it, something like that. But yeah. Sometimes they won't even let you go, y'all. So you have to let yourself go, take your power back, and protect your peace. Because, you know, I know some states, you know, if they keep not showing up to the divorce proceedings, it's like uncontested or whatever, or they just forfeit. Look up the local laws in your state. If they won't legally divorce you because they were somebody else, I don't know if you can file for divorce on abandonment. I think you can do that in Virginia or North Carolina, something like that. You can file for abandonment and things like that, and they, you know, you can force a divorce. Just talk to attorneys and things like that, y'all. I don't know what state you're in or what country or, you know, what continent or whatever you're in, but protect your peace, y'all. Protect your mental health and things like that because you deserve it. Yeah, but I can say that all I want to, but you have to actually believe it. Anyway, y'all, today is Monday. Tomorrow starts my live everyday thing. Yeah, I might go live tonight on one of my platforms. So if you haven't followed me yet, I might go live on TikTok for a little bit. Thank y'all for tuning in. Really, truly, really, really, truly appreciate every single one of y'all. Mental illness is out. Peace. And my podcasters, hit that 5 stars for me. And my voice, I'm going to have to record some more videos today. My voice is getting a little scratchy. You know, I hope this is the end of this is the worst of COVID we'll get. I told y'all test positive for COVID. Hit that 5 stars for me, y'all. I really, truly appreciate every single one of y'all. Like and subscribe for more. Mental illness is out. Peace.